We have a new feature that we're testing out on you, Senor Guinea Pig.
Justin is our guinea pig for this part of the episode.
Red.
No, you're wrong. Win? Get out. So,
would you like to describe it for us?
I would. All right. We're going to call it 30 Seconds of Random. So we are going to ask you, we have a list of seven or eight questions each. We're just going to go back and forth, and we have the kitchen timer from our very own house because we're high tech here. We're going to ask you 30 seconds worth of questions. Some are subjective, some are objective, and we're going to see how many you get through, and if you get through them all, you get bragging rights. That's your special prize. Ooh.
Which is enough for me. I play fantasy football, and I don't care about winning the money. It's all about the pride and the bragging rights. So this is huge. I'm nervous. This
There's no Benjamins here. I'm sorry.
No, money doesn't mean anything compared to pride.
Hey, we like that. I got
that
some
is the correct answer.
Clean.
You can't buy pride.
That's true. So were you going to start this one, babe, or you want me to?
Yes.
We haven't started yet, Justin. Okay,
and I'm not. So,
Let me go first, my dear.
Wait, okay,
but you gotta tell me when you hit the old. Oh, there's a little beep. Actually,
we'll start it in 3, 2, 1.
Yellow or Dijon?
Dijon.
Twins or Timberwolves?
Twins.
Would you rather Lady Gaga or Katy Perry?
Katy Perry.
Have you ever been arrested?
No.
Who would win in a fight, Rocky or Rambo?
Rambo.
What are the architectural characteristics of Gothic architecture?
Steeples.
Good.
Spring or fall?
Spring.
Mac or PC?
Mac.
DC or Marvel?
I don't care.
Speedboat or sailboat?
Speedboat.
Bela Lugosi or Boris Karloff?
Karloff.
If a train leaves Chicago at 7:45 and it's... Oh.
Oh, come on.
Thank you for playing along.
Unfortunately, you didn't get through all of them.
I think my answers were in plenty of time. That was pretty good. Although I don't like Dijon mustard, so I don't know why I said that.
And now we shall never go back to these questions again. We shall never speak of it again.
So we're going to take a break for the Michael Kaiser word of the day. We'll be right back with Justin.
And now for the monster word of the day. With Michael Kaiser, the monster.
Clue.
And that was the monster word of the day with Michael Kaiser, the monster.
And we're back with Justin Overlander, guest of the Mimiverse Bonfire Podcast number 3. Just a couple more questions here, and we're going to allow you to pimp yourself. The questions that I have, actually, is... Having been in the movies of the Mimiverse, have you had a chance to see all the movies of the Mimiverse?
Yes, I've seen all 3.
At the premieres or in your home?
No, I have seen each of them, all 6. And I made every premiere except one. And I think I missed the Cave Women premiere.
Because you were mad because you weren't in the movie?
No, not at all. For circumstances beyond my control, probably a wedding or something that I had to go to.
We'll forgive you this once.
That's all right. My follow-up question to that, then, is do you have a favorite? And if so, are you willing to share it? Of the Mimiverse films.
You can even
pimp your own films that you had a direct role in.
I do have a favorite, and I am willing to share it.
Oh.
My question for you is, would you like me to?
I would very much. My response to that is, I would very much like that.
Is this some sort of weird courting ritual, Chris?
What's going on here? Exactly.
Jeez.
Building the drama. What's my thing?
Would you like me to kiss you? I would like you to kiss me.
You guys clearly don't understand the concept.
Did you go to Antioch College or what?
Hello, bus driver.
Sorry, bus.
You guys clearly don't understand the concept of tension and release.
No.
That's what Justin and I were doing.
I am all release.
And I'm all tension, dang it!
Yes. So, yeah.
I would very much like to hear your response, good sir.
I my favorite, and it's probably easy to say, and it really doesn't have anything to do with my involvement with it, but it is Monster of Phantom Lake. I think it's... because of the novelty of it, and I think it still stands as perhaps the funniest in my mind. And I'm drawn to humor. You know, before the podcast, as we were talking, I admitted that I'm not a horror movie fan.
Dun, dun.
and not that these are horror movies, and you know, I heck, I produced a horror movie a few years ago, but it's the monster of Phantom Lake just has that, where everything about it is cheesy, and I like that. And I really did like Attack of the Moon Zombies, and I think that one was very well. And I do like them all. There's not one of them that I can say, oh, I didn't like that one. I like them all. But I like the ones that are grounded on Earth a little bit more so. So, Monster of Phantom Lake, obviously. And it came from another world. You know, mostly it's set on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Attack of the Moon Zombies has, you know, I like it a lot, but it's that stark white that if it were a real one of those movies, and it's since it's funny, I like it, but if it was one of those real movies that it's emulating, I probably wouldn't like it so much, because I'm not a Star Trek guy.
You're not a fan of the sci-fi?
Sci-fi, no.
Oh, interesting.
Wow.
But Chris manages to make me a fan of his, so... Another compliment to him.
That's nice.
That is real nice. Go ahead, dear. Did you have a question?
I do. Yes. So last podcast I pimped you as a fellow filmmaker, and so I know nothing about that, much as our listeners, and I'm hoping that you will tell us what you do besides just acting and doing some editing and such. What else do you do?
I write. I direct, I act, I produce, I edit. I mean, it sounds, patting myself on the back, I do all of that. I'm so good at every one of it.
No, they all tie in together. It's different than being a lighting designer where, you know, it's...
Well, and I don't...
What else can I do?
I don't do that very well,
yay,
I'll admit.
There's more for me.
You know...
Those are all acting type
very
things.
Very cheap.
Especially up here, you're forced to be a jack of all trades. Unless you are lucky enough to find your own niche. And there are a handful of actors that can make a living acting up here.
Mm-hmm.
And I literally mean a handful. Like the ones that I know, I can count on one hand, mm-hmm, that actually make a career out of acting professionally without side jobs and other sources of income. And while I love acting more than anything else, the acting gigs were too few and far between.
Mm-hmm.
And so I decided, well, I'm going to teach myself how to write. So I read, you know, a dozen screenwriting books.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, I'm going to buy a camera and I'm going to, mm-hmm, teach myself how to direct. So I read a dozen directing books. And I mean, it all just comes down to educating yourself and learning from people that are smarter than you so that you can follow in their footsteps and try to, you know, gather something from their wisdom. And I'm not, you know, going to sit here and claim that I'm the greatest director, the greatest screenwriter, the greatest actor in the Twin Cities, but I'm one of the few that is competent in all of those areas, I think.
You're basically giving Chris competition, which is healthy.
Well, Chris doesn't act.
I don't act. I'm not an actor. I'll throw myself in my movies in little roles, but I do not act. I don't want to be an actor. It's just that I want to be behind the scenes and really nothing else. I like throwing my face out there, you know, the Hitchcock thing.
Because it's funny.
Yeah. Well, actually, Justin, this goes, I do have a question as well that's sort of a follow-up a little. Do you have a day job, or do you do this for a living?
My day job is raising my kids.
I
know.
No, I'd love that.
I'm Mr. Mom.
That's, yes, awesome.
No, that's, yes, good. And it's a different sort of outlet than a purely creative outlet, which is... sort of nice.
Right. You know, and you know, my daughter is in school. She half-day kindergarten last year, and so I had my 2-year-old son all day, but, you know, he would nap during the afternoon, and I would get... it's hard to get anything done when you're the primary caregiver, mm-hmm, because you are... And I don't... not primary caregiver overall, but during the hours that my wife is at work bringing home the bacon for us.
The traceable bacon.
She has, in, you know, insurance. God, yay, bless her heart. Without her, I wouldn't be able to do what I'm doing. So in some ways, there are times when I'm really depressed and upset that she's not at home raising the kids, because it's kind of been her lifelong dream to do that. But at the same time, we're very, very blessed because we don't have to send our kids to daycare.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a knock on daycare. You know, for some people, that's the only way that they are able to make ends meet. But for us, it was very important that we would always be there for the kids, either one of us or a family member. And you know, my mother-in-law helps babysit from time to time too, if I've got a major deadline, an editing deadline, or something that I need to really get to, or auditions. You know, my mother-in-law will take the kids for, you know, a couple hours while I'm going off to an audition or whatnot. So my day job, that's a long way of answering your question of my day job, is that I am a stay-at-home dad, and then I moonlight as a video producer. I do a lot of educational videos, you know, for various companies where I do the shooting, and I oftentimes am the spokesman and do the editing. And
so you found a way to make some money producing film.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I shouldn't admit this out loud, but you can make a lot of money doing
corporate gigs are the way to go.
Yeah, you really can. And
hey,
they agree.
That was a hurrah for corporate gigs.
That was actually the cannon fire that said, "You say that again, and this one's not going to miss you this time."
No, they even told us that when I was getting my master's in lighting, they're like, "They may suck your soul because they were very honest. You know, they're not really creative outlets, but." You know, that doesn't mean that those people don't have those skills. They need this service. It gets, you know, some creative yayas out, and they actually pay. Because, you know, the independent filmmakers in this region do not have the ability to pay. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's not like you're
doing
it for money.
There's not a lot of money to go around.
Heck no.
For that kind of thing.
Heck no. But, you know, that's... Yay, corporate gigs. That's
right.
All
I'm saying. And you hit it on the head. It's not creative. I mean, I get some leniency. You know, I get to create graphics, and I write the scripts for a lot of the ones that I do. And so there's a little creativity there. I like to come up with fun slogans or sayings and whatnot. But you're right. It's not the creative outlet, but it helps make ends meet and pay the bills. And when I said, you know, you can make a lot of money, I don't want to give the impression that, oh, I'm rolling in it. But, I mean, for the amount of work that's actually put out, I always have said if I could make the same amount making movies as I made teaching, I used to be an elementary school teacher. If I could make that amount of money, which isn't very much at all,
you could
doing,
at least pay your bills.
I would still be happy. Mm-hmm. You know, for me, I'm not in filmmaking and movie making and acting and all that stuff to become rich. I'm in it because that's just what I do. It's you know, not to get too spiritual on you, but it's what God put me here to do, and that's the gift that I have been given. And I feel like if I don't explore that and do that I'm letting Him down, and so I don't want to do that. And That's what it boils down to me. I mean, if I get rich, I won't turn it down. But that's not the goal. The goal is to just fulfill my passion to be creative, and that's really what it boils down to.
That's
okay.
Cool.
That's eloquently put, man.
It is.
I have a couple
lovely.
Of questions that sort of expand on this a little bit.
Okay,
but Justin. You and I have had discussions about this in the past, and I just want to sort of ask you about it on the record, as it were. How do you feel about independent film as a whole? Because I know we've had discussions about how you and I really like big budget Hollywood, big dumb movies. How do you feel about sort of the not low level, low budget, you know, local indie filmmaking? I'm not saying let's throw all the other filmmakers
movies.
Under the bus. That's not what I'm saying.
Right, right.
I'm talking Hollywood indies, or like the challenging films that, you know, are about challenging subjects. What are your feelings about that? Because I seem to come across sort of people of two minds. Either come across people who are just like, oh, anything Hollywood does is crap. And they, I love movies that, you know, that are 8 hours long, that are all, you know, one shot or
and
whatever.
And subtitled.
Yeah, and subtitled. where do you fall on that spectrum of sort of your own personal tastes in movies?
To answer the explanation of the question, as opposed to my opinion on independent film, which is such a nebulous gray term, you know, you can't really define independent film because it means everything from the Mimiverse to, you know, $100 budget movie to a $10 million Hollywood movie. I mean, that's all considered independent film. But when it comes to like art house flicks that you're talking about, the eight, you know, the 3-4-5 hour long movies with subtitles really attacking deep subjects that you walk away from not feeling good, you know, there's an audience for those. I have a hard time believing that audience really really likes those movies. I think it's, I don't know, I think it's a status thing. I mean, I'm supposed to like this movie because I'm, you know, Harvard educated, and this is the type of movie that I'm supposed to like. I have to rip Transformers 1, 2, and 3 no matter what.
Yes.
Because Michael Bay directed them, and he is just the antithesis of movie making. You know, Michael Bay.
I like this character you're playing.
Oh my gosh, Michael Bay is a multimillionaire, and he's every movie he makes is uberly successful. Critics hate it, but audiences pay a lot of money to go see them. So I'm tired of people bashing Michael Bay. Yeah, he's got an awful directing style. Yeah, you don't know what's going on half of the time. But good grief, he's doing something right, isn't he? He laughs his way all the way to the bank. You know, it's like. It's like Joe Mauer this year. He's batting, what, 200 after signing the richest contract in Minnesota Twins history. You know, it's no skin off his neck. I don't know. I like Joe Mauer. I shouldn't throw him under the bus like that.
This is the second time Joe Mauer's been thrown under the Mimiverse podcast.
Give us a call.
Defend yourself.
No, I shouldn't be like that. I mean, and athletes are grossly overpaid for what they do. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Not the Twins, though.
Agreed completely.
Anyway, I'm a Twins fan, so I have a tough time swallowing this season because it's really going under. But to try to get the bus back on track I'm not a big fan of the... I don't like slow movies. My opinion is 95% of the movies that are made, whether they be independent... You know, million-dollar movies, independent $100 movies, or $300 million Hollywood blockbusters. My opinion is that 95% of them should be at least 15 minutes, if not 30 minutes shorter, if not 45 minutes shorter. It's ridiculous the way they drag them on. And, you know, I'm not going to mention people by name because maybe one day I'll work with them and I don't want to be that. But... Good grief.
Michael Bay?
No. I respect Michael Bay much more much more than most people. I respect Michael Bay because he's very, very successful. And you can't argue.
He makes a great action movie.
Right, and you can't argue with the
He made a really shitty movie. I'm really sorry. I'm so sorry he didn't.
What he's known for.
So anyway, I just think movies in general should be shorter. 90 minutes. Is a perfect time for a movie. Yeah. Don't drag it out.
Isn't it hard to watch a movie when you are like an editor? I did print editing. Different. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's so many times I'll go see a band or a movie or a show and I'm like, "Oh, Jesus. God, this. Don't you have someone who loves you who tells you to stop?"
Well, and you know, and
it just hurts.
Ironically, even looking back at some things that I've cut together, you know, a movie that we all just saw recently, watching it in the theater, I'm like, I could have cut that down a little bit more. There were parts that should have been cut down. The movie that I produced, 4 years ago, Horror House, I should have cut scenes in that shorter. It's so tough. Unless you have another set of eyes to look at it and give you feedback, another set of eyes that you trust, you know, because it's one thing.
And who hasn't seen it 100 times?
Exactly. Yeah, you get married to it, and then you have a tough time divorcing yourself from. Mm-hmm.
Well, and do you feel too when you write a movie, it's even harder sometimes to cut things out?
Harder and easier at the same time because I don't. You know, I think I'm a good screenwriter, but I don't hold my words as gospel. Sorry, saw a little bug there. I don't know what happened. No, it's. I mean, there are things that in the writing process you think are so important to the plot and the advancement of the story, and you've thought that from the very beginning. And so then, when you're in the editing room, you've got it ingrained in your mind that this is so important. I can't lose this. And somebody else comes along and says, "What are you doing? You can lose that easily, really?
Cut that junk."
I had it so dead set in my mind that I couldn't.
Yeah.
That's the advantage of having the extras. Because then people like us can watch the extras and go, "Oh, I saw why they cut that."
Mm-hmm. Well, and that...
I love extras.
That's another thing I don't understand about Hollywood releases is how can you have a DVD or a Blu-ray with 15, 16, 17 deleted scenes? Don't you catch some of that in the script process?
Oh. I would... Okay. They caught it in the script process. Jeez.
These people get paid a lot of money, is what I'm saying.
Yes, yeah. They do.
Should be able to.
It's also a huge committee, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of hands in the cookie jar. Yes.
One of the things I think that somebody who was way more philosophical than I am once said that great art is never finished, it is only abandoned. Mm-hmm. And I think that the same could be said for filmmakers in the sense that, like you just admitted to yourself, you yourself are a filmmaker. You've gone back and looked at stuff that you did even a couple years ago and have looked at it with a fresh set of eyes again and said, oh, I could have adjusted this. You know, mm-hmm. I could have cut this. I could have done this and this and this. But again, it's never fully, I mean, it's right. You just have to give up. You have to like, okay, I'm done with this. I'm going to release this. And you just hope and pray that, you know, people like it and respond to it. And mm-hmm. I think that's what any filmmaker really wants is they just want a response. They just want somebody to listen to their story. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I think that's...
It's all about stroking your ego. That's why you create podcasts called Mimiverse Podcasts. Because you just really want everything to be about you. It's true. At least
Diva.
I will admit to a certain extent, I just love the fact that, you know, it's all about me. Just there. Oh, look at me. It's so great.
All right, peripherally.
Nice.
Anyway.
I actually have one more question. Did you have one?
I have sort of a two-parter.
Let's go.
Speaking of two-part of this podcast is going to turn into a two-part.
No, yes.
Right. This is going to be the longest
okay,
podcast.
Sorry. Well, this is all good stuff, though.
This is awesome.
And it's nice to talk to an actor, yes, but also another filmmaker, because a lot of people in the movies just are consider themselves actors first.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying Justin doesn't think of himself as an actor first, but you're also a filmmaker, and you're with the people I've worked with, there's not many... Besides you and I guess.
Mm-hmm. That you know of.
That I work with sort of repeatedly, I guess. You mentioned your film Whorehouse.
Horror House.
H-O-R-R.
Several syllables.
Horror House.
Right. Which is meant to be a comical title
because
I'm making fun of horror movies.
That got distribution, correct?
Yeah.
Right on.
Without necessarily, if you don't want to mention the name of the distributor, but how did you get distribution, and are you glad you did, or would you have changed your mind now knowing what you know now?
I was happy to get distribution because, in my opinion, the movie is not a good movie. There are some redemptive qualities.
Okay, it was good. It was good.
It.
I didn't see it.
I don't regret making it. I learned a lot doing it, and like I said, there are parts of it that I enjoy. But as a whole, the movie isn't great. So to get any kind of distribution deal, I feel like I was pretty lucky in making phone calls to get distribution. Without fail, the first question anybody ever asked was who's in it. And so I'd say, you know, well, bunch of people from Minnesota that you've never heard of. And, you know, usually after that, the conversation was over. You know, the quality of the movie matters far less than the recognition of
the names attached
names
to the movie.
Attached. Yep. Mm. Yep.
And that's
not always the case, you know.
About Hollywood.
If you have a ridiculously original concept like Open Water, for existence, which was that document or mock.
Mockumentary.
Not a mockumentary because
fake
it's not a comedy, but a full documentary of these two people that get left out in open water and get eaten by sharks. More
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler.
Oh my gosh. What was that movie?
I've been the movie out for like 4 or 5 years. Come
I
on.
Have not seen it, okay?
I was going to
rent
it.
Why bother?
It was
why
on
bother?
My Netflix queue and pff, forget that. Thanks,
they don't get
Justin.
Eaten by sharks.
Okay.
Godzilla.
They survive. Oh,
they
wait, that's the end too.
Live happily ever after and
anyway.
The Titanic comes and rescues them.
Yay. I love happy endings.
So I was very happy to get distribution. I'm not necessarily happy with what's happened since. And I think the reason I got distribution was because the company was a fairly young company just looking to build their library, which is ironically how the Weinsteins started too. They were just acquiring every schlock fest, every piece of garbage they could get.
Don't say it was
I'm not saying Horror
not
House was garbage. it's a step above garbage. But anyway, that I don't know the distribution company is not in favorable company with me right now. But, you know, it's making money, which is a good thing. It's being seen. I've had people contact me from other areas of the globe.
That's good. That
say, you know, I have to know what that song was here. And like, oh, okay, this is the song. Thanks. Oh, thanks.
I guess the only other question I have, and I hope it doesn't step on yours, but you have a blog.
Mm-hmm.
What is the name of the blog, first off, because it...
He's not pimping yet.
Well, no. This will go into my question.
Okay.
But well, just tell us the name of the blog.
Thank you for asking, Chris. It is MN2LA. That's MN, the number 2, LA, .blogspot.com. And an easy way to remember it is it's Minnesota to Los Angeles, or Minnesota to Hollywood, as I call it.
So my question about that, then, is your every intention to... get to Hollywood, quote unquote, and move out there and become the next Michael Bay, or are you more or less like myself, thinking more, I just want to make it here and stay here?
I refer to Hollywood less as a geographical location and more as, wait for it.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Oh.
That one stunk.
We hear this whistling of the firework, of all fireworks, and it's like, psh, dud. Anyway, I speak of Hollywood not in geographical terms, but more of just a status, you know?
Gotcha.
When I am making movies that Hollywood recognizes as significant pieces of their world, that's when I'm content. Well, I'll be content, but never be complacent. That's my motto. I want to find contentment without being complacent. So once I am making movies that get theatrical release, you know, I want it to show up on the marquee of the AMCs. I want it to be on Blu-ray, and Horror House is on Netflix, which is cool and all.
Awesome.
But yet, it's not being promoted. It's not, you know, you can't buy it on Amazon. You have to go to the distributor's website. You know, I want it to be readily available. I want it to be in the public vernacular. You know, people say, what are you going to see this weekend? Well, it's a toss-up between Transformers 8 and that new Overlander movie.
Gotcha. No,
interesting.
That's kind of where I want to be.
My last question actually does tie in with Chris. He almost asked the question, but I'm kind of glad he didn't.
Okay.
They're glad too.
It does tie in the sense that my question is, do you want to be known as Justin Overlander the actor, or Justin Overlander the director?
Ooh.
The actor.
So your ultimate goal is to become an actor.
It is.
You want to give Brad Pitt a run for his money.
Let's put maybe Steve Buscemi.
Okay, there you go.
That'd be an awesome person.
I acting is my first love, and if I could make it as just an actor, I would do that. You know, self-reflection being what it is, and dangerous and useful at the same time.
Uh-huh.
I oftentimes wonder, especially as I get older now, past my prime, quote unquote, as the hairline starts to recede a little bit. I wonder if I've got anything to offer Hollywood as an actor that isn't already available.
You don't want to think like that, though.
But it's a good question for an actor.
Well, it's a good question, but
you have to think that. I mean, if you don't have something new to offer, why do you want to bother pursuing it?
Mm-hmm.
Because this is advice that I give to I do some demo reels for younger actors in the Twin Cities here. I write scenes, direct them, edit them, put a demo reel together, and they show it to agents and stuff out in LA. I tell them, don't go out to LA. Build up your resume here. You know, you'll be auditioning with maybe 15, 25 people similar to you in the Twin Cities. You go out to LA, you're auditioning with 1,500 to 2,000 people exactly like you, except more talented, probably.
So you're basically saying that it's almost better to become a big fish in a small pond as opposed to a very small fish in a very large pond.
Most of the time, yeah. There are exceptions to that. There's always going to be an exception. And when one of the actors to whom I've given that advice does go out there and makes it, I want them to come back and rub it in my face. I really do, because I'm rooting for them. I really want them to succeed. I don't wish ill on anybody, but I also don't like sending people out for what looks like, imminent failure. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you go out to L.A. too soon, you get burned out, you get rejected too much, you come back to Minnesota with your tail between your legs, scared to go back out there. Why not take some time here, you know, live here till you're 21, 22, 23 years old. Get some gigs in town here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're still going to be able to play a 15-year-old on the soaps.
Well, yeah,
but,
yeah.
No, but I mean, you're right. The horrible thing about being an actor is that if it looks like nobody's hired you, then no one's going to hire you. And mm-hmm. so if they see that you've got 15 movies and 4 shows under your belt, they're going, even if it's, you know, something they've never heard of, they don't know the Old Log Theater, they don't know, you know, Burnsville Community Playhouse, but it's something, and you're not saying, I'm just out of high school, wee-hee, in a right. pool of a million people, you're going to get thrown out, because they don't even care if you're good or not good.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like you're good because you haven't worked.
And that's what
it's a drag.
That's what a resume is. It's validation.
It mm-hmm. is.
Look, I've been in, these people trusted me enough to cast me in their projects. So that shows you that, A, either there are a lot of idiots in Minneapolis willing to cast me,
or I don't suck as bad as I look.
Yeah, I'm not just a total nubile that doesn't have any experience whatsoever that's going to get on set and go up and ask for, you know...
Lines.
Felicia Day's autograph.
Nice.
Yeah, see how I threw that in there?
That was awesome.
Well tied in.
I just thought of another follow-up question, actually, which ties into what I just asked you before. You had mentioned earlier in the podcast about how you started off as an actor. You started mm-hmm. off at point A. Because acting gigs were so few and far between for you, you became... you decided to, let's take a look at what goes into writing a script. Let's see what goes into directing.
Mm-hmm.
Having gone through all those steps and having your ultimate goal become is being an actor. Wow, I'm having a hard time speaking. Do you find that having gone through those steps, learning how to write scripts, learning how to direct, has that made you a better actor?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
It's opened your eyes to the whole process as opposed to just your little piece of the pie in the entire...
Oh, and just poke at it. Just poke at it. Sorry, guys. The embers are burning down.
Leave me alone. Stop poking at me.
Chris is whining. Total non sequitur. Oh, he's going for more wood. We have to stay out longer. Sorry, Mark. Sorry, Justin.
No, that's okay. He can poke at my wood if he needs to.
Hey!
Oh, there's the one.
Well, it's after 10 o'clock, so it's okay. We can talk like this now. The kids are in bed.
The mosquitoes have drained too much blood from me. I'm a little lightheaded.
Yeah. He's lightheaded.
No, I have learned an immense amount from researching the other aspects of filmmaking. I mean, if nothing else, just casting my own projects, being on the other side of the casting table, opens your eyes to a world of annoyances that casters face. You know, people coming in and either having no personality or too much personality. You know, there's kind of a happy medium there. You know, you want your actors to come in and be enthusiastic, but you don't want them to come in and absolutely take over the room. And then you don't want them to come in with no personality whatsoever. So,
and that's really why Justin is in like every other movie, because it's like I forget between movies how he comes in and takes over everything.
Oh, you're so.
And then I'm like, oh, Justin, I think he was kind of nice, and I'll put him in something else.
Oh,
and then it's like, God, why did I do that?
What was I thinking?
That's not true.
So basically, Justin, why I asked those series of questions is I was just trying to gauge whether or not I had a shot in any Overlander
production.
My
God.
It's all about who you know, right? I mean, we're being really nice to you.
Justin, as a technician, I'd like to tell you he's in a band and he doesn't have the actor bug.
That's very true.
I don't know, man. You've got to admit it. You got it a little bit since that first movie.
Ever since Destination Outer Space.
You got it a little bit.
It's been very exciting, and I have been reading some books. But
what do you do in your band?
I am a drummer.
And there it is. Yeah, I'm a drummer too.
Me too.
We're not really in the band.
No.
It's three musicians and a drummer.
Yeah.
What's a drummer without a girlfriend?
Homeless. How do you get a drummer off your front step?
I don't know how.
Pay for the pizza.
No.
Come on, these are old jokes.
Ba-dum-bum. I didn't even hear that one. That one's good.
Wow.
The only one I heard is what do you call somebody that likes to hang out with musicians?
And that's a drummer.
Drummer, yeah.
Nice. But I also,
sidebar.
Chris, you're more than just a drummer. I mean, you play guitar and...
And the banjo. Yeah,
but of all the instruments, the one I think I'm probably best at is the drums.
Me too.
I played it
and
the longest.
And that's not saying much.
Oh! You've heard my guitar playing.
I've also heard your drumming.
Life is a mystery.
Here's a little preview for Paddling Along, which you'll hear at the end of this podcast.
I
knew I liked you for some reason.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, and Mitch Gonzalez, diva that he is also a drummer.
Is he really?
What is wrong with
Mitch
this group of people? And Ed is a drummer.
Ed
Michael,
also plays
you and
drum.
Me, we're going to go drive off into the sunset without any instruments at all.
But we're all just friends of Michael's. So.
Yeah, we are.
That's right.
Michael's actually the cult leader.
Really?
All praise be to Michael.
Should we call this the Kaiserverse?
No, see, he works behind the scenes. That's why he makes everyone else think there, but it's really, it's all set around so Michael can get more screen time so people fall more in love with him.
It's working.
It's
working.
Yeah. We should start a internet rumor that there's some Kaiser's Comet coming and that we all have to board a spaceship before it
I don't think I have shoes that match his.
We can try to get you some, though, dear.
Not a fan of Kool-Aid.
Oh, well. We've now come to the section of the podcast where
I'll just drink Crystal Light.
We didn't do it for Michael's.
Oh, totally allergic to aspartame. No, can do. I can't come to the party.
Nice. We didn't.
Joe Maurer, call me. Hey.
Hey. Interruption.
Yes. I'm sorry. Yes. I'm distracted.
This is hilarious because this is a different role for her in this podcast. She's the one that's taking us off the tracks.
Yeah.
We didn't do this section for the Michael Kaiser one. Only because
we don't need to.
We didn't really need to, but
Michael loves this all.
We're bringing it back for Justin here. It's called the Pimp Yourself for a Cookie.
Oh yeah, Pimp Yourself
for Mike Cook. Sweet.
No, Pimp Yourself for a Cookie.
Right.
Yeah, you get a cookie for free.
You got to bring us a cookie, and then you're allowed to pimp your stuff. So where's my cookie?
We were talking earlier, and I thought I was going to get a bunch of swag here. You were talking about all the food you were going to bring.
Oh, you missed that.
Yeah, we ate before you got here, man.
Yeah.
So that's why my steak and lobster are cold. And my butter's coagulated. It's not even melted anymore.
You were supposed to bring the good food.
Steak, also known as bologna. Cooked in the microwave.
What?
Lobster.
What tube steak.
Crab meat.
Tube steak.
Jesus.
Tube steaks.
Mm. Well, and since we've dragged on so long and nobody's listening anymore, we're going to actually cut and paste this to the beginning, right?
Yes.
So this is the beginning, but it's the end.
We're going to allow...
It's sort of a weirdness.
Let's allow Justin to pimp himself, his
please,
project.
I think
please,
when you
Justin.
Cut this, we should actually put it at the beginning.
No, that is too... You watch too much Monkees. That's too LSD for this podcast. We even chose a name and didn't even deviate from the name one time.
For what?
Nothing. Hello. Justin Overlander, please tell us what your projects are. Would you like to pimp yourself?
It's the bug spray Ed bought, man. It's making us all crazy.
Anyway.
So yes, now is the
thumbs
time.
Thumbs up, do not translate on the radio, Ed.
Sorry. This is the time in the podcast where you are allowed to let people know who have listened to this podcast, you know, how to get a hold of you for various things, or, you know, this is the time where you get to shine your own light. So
take it
away, Mr. Overlander, and I'm going to remember that you didn't bring us a cookie.
Well, thank you for forgiving my faux pas. And I will be sure to toss my cookies at you.
Oh! You.
That was set up perfectly.
Well done.
There. Set up
well
perfectly.
Done.
And paid off. All right. thank you for the opportunity to do this. This is honestly, and it may sound like false modesty, but I'm not good at pimping myself. I really don't like talking about what I'm doing. I have a saying that I haven't copyrighted this yet, so don't steal it from me, but I really believe in the saying, you know, boast not of your own doings. If you're really as good as you think you are, somebody else will boast for you. And so by pimping some of the things I'm doing, I'm not trying to do it in a boastful manner, thinking, oh boy, I've got so much stuff going on.
Unlike Chris Mim.
No.
Was that out loud voice, or was, I'm sorry.
That diminished you. You guys came up with the idea for the podcast.
Chris promotes his work, but he doesn't do it in a boastful manner, in my opinion anyway. Facebook is the dumping ground for anybody and everybody to brag, whine, and complain all in the same sentence, you know? Oh, I only got 2 hours of sleep last night because I was up editing all night. Or, oh, I had 3 auditions today. And it's like, okay, great. I mean, I've had days where I've had 3 auditions. I mean, I average between 6 and 7 hours of sleep per night between taking care of the kids, getting up with them early, and writing into the night. But it's like... And now here I am going back on everything that I said, because here I am whining and complaining about it. But it's like,
but this is not Facebook, so it's okay.
Right. I mean, it boggles my mind how poor some people think they've got it.
Yeah.
And really, I mean, we've all got it awfully good. And let me promote something that's not my own.
Okay.
I finally
interesting tactic.
I finally did something that I had wanted to do for so long. And that was sponsor a child through Compassion International. So let me pimp Compassion International quickly. I mean, you pay, you know, it's only $35 a month, which really isn't that much when you get down to it. It causes me to sacrifice. And you know what? Here's the thing. If you've got $35 a month to give to Compassion International, whoop-de-doo. I don't have $35 a month to give to Compassion International, but I find a way to sacrifice a little bit in order to give to it, because I really believe in ending world hunger, world poverty, and really combating.
And also, so do they.
And obnoxious fireworks at 11 o'clock at
God
night.
God bless
in a
America that we've got money for that stuff.
Exactly. And you know, this isn't, I'm not getting on a soapbox. I don't want it to sound like that at all. But I really, really believe in charity and sharing what we've been blessed with, because it's not ours to begin with. And really, what we're here for is to just take care of each other and to love each other. And you don't have to, you know, hug and kiss everybody, but you should be able to show some sort of compassion to your brother. And it's just,
that's a lovely way to look at
it. I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm done with that. Now let me be selfish and promote my own stuff.
Please do. Tell us about your websites and works.
Chris brought up my blog, which isn't as much of a priority as it once was for me. I think my last post was maybe 6 months ago, but I am, I promise, going to get back into it. It's the best way to keep up with what I've got going on without me, you know, bragging about, you know, working with Janice Dickinson or stuff like that. Oh, did I just brag about that? You know who she is.
Did you really?
Yeah, yeah.
She's a big fan.
You got to tell me about that.
Oh, really?
I need to know about it. Off camera. I need to, like, hear about this person as a real person, because seriously, I watched America's Next Top Model, y'all. I've seen me some Janice Dickinson.
She has a great heart. I'll say that.
That is there so good go. To hear. Okay, please okay. tell us about
Would
your...
Would you give us that website again website. For the blog?
The blog is MN2LA. That's MN as the abbreviation for Minnesota. The number 2, and then LA as in the abbreviation for LA. .blogspot.com. Oh, did I say LA, the abbreviation for LA?
Yes, you did.
Wow. Was it on purpose?
It's tight. No, I didn't do that on purpose, actually. That was a unintentional mistake. The abbreviation for Louisiana. Yes, no, the abbreviation for Los Angeles. More.
I'm trying to get down to New Orleans. Help him out. He wants to really see a Mardi Gras before he dies. It's on his bucket list.
mn2la.blogspot.com is my personal blog where I do talk about some of the things that I'm working on a little bit there, but actually more what I do is share links to people smarter than me that have talked about screenwriting or selling your movie or acting or things like that. I try to do little commentaries on other people that are much more successful than I am. And along those lines, examiner.com, I do a column there, the Minneapolis independent film scene. And you just go to examiner.com and you can search for Justin Overlander there. And my name is Justen. Most people don't know that. You can Google me, too. I mean, it's funny. I Google myself every once in a while, and each time it's like, oh, I've got quite a few pages that come up. You know, half of them are Mimiverse things, which is great. I appreciate that. But you can Google me and find me there. I'm on Facebook. You know, if you try to friend me on Facebook, send me a message, though. Good grief. I get tired of getting... Just because we have 30 friends in common, you try to friend me. It's like, I don't know you from Adam. Send That's me a little weird. Message and tell me why you want to connect with me. Because I do have a couple pictures of my kids on there, and I don't want just anybody... seeing that. And
completely understandable.
Yeah, that's right. A little weird.
So friend me, but send me a message. Let me know who you are and why you want to connect. I mean, if there's a reason to connect, great. I'm happy to do that. If there's no reason to connect, then why do you want to?
Solely to pad your friend count.
Which I don't do.
So, collector.
Every single person on my friend list, this is a new... I have accepted friends that I don't know, but I'm trying to get better about that. I feel guilty, though. I feel badly just denying people. But anyway, I know, you know, 95% of the people, and that's the way it should be. I don't understand. How can you have 2,000 friends?
I agree.
I don't get that. Okay, so other things to look at. Twitter. I'm on Twitter. Just Weird. Over at Twitter. Or how do you do that? At just over, at J-U-S-T underscore over, O-V-E-R. So again, you can look me up. You can go to Twitter and search for Justin Overlander, and I think
I've never met someone with a real Twitter.
Yeah, and it's, you know, I have three one. Followers. No, I have a few more.
You don't count.
And again, Twitter is just another outlet for me to give links to interesting articles on filmmaking. I mean, it's mostly an education. You know, you can take the teacher out of the school. But you can't take the teacher out of the teacher. I love teaching. I love
No, helping. It's good to be a resource. It's very good to be a resource. Because then, like you said, you're educating and teaching and helping without pimping all your own crap. Because you know what? None of us are that interesting.
Right, and I'm not Michael Bay yet. You know, you haven't seen...
Michael Bay is not that interesting.
Michael Kaiser is that interesting.
That is actually true.
Hail the Kais.
And we didn't tell everybody that his nickname is Michael Bay, right? Because he's...
No, no one actually Baywatch realizes his caliber. Name is actually Mike. That's actually Michael Bay.
Yeah,
it's not Michael Kaiser.
Liars.
Nice.
Liar.
So anyway, you can Google me. I have a YouTube channel. You can search for me there. I think JOMNVA is my channel. JOMNVA. I set it up when I was teaching for the Minnesota Virtual Academy, and they don't let you change your channel on YouTube. So
no, you can't go back.
That's my channel. So you can actually go there and see some of the demo reels of some of the actors that I've helped out. And if you want to cast them in your projects, you know, most of them are excellent actors and great people to boot. So I'm rooting for all of them, even the ones that I don't think are excellent actors yet. I'm still rooting for them and want them to be cast in things because they've got potential and they'll get there. So I'm going to be in House of Ghosts. Gehenna just had our world premiere a couple nights ago, and that the DVD I think will be available from the website gehennamovie.com. It's also on Facebook. Search for it there. And I'm in pre-production actually of my next feature, which you know, this is the first time it's getting out there beyond just my close circle of friends. It's actually. It's independent, it's low budget, but I want to do it in a way that it can compete with the high production quality movies coming out of Hollywood. So
okay. Does this movie have a title?
It's called
a website?
I won't give the title yet, but it's actually a Christian movie. And I vowed that I would never make a Christian movie because I think most of them are cheesy, and I think they're viewed negatively and rightfully so, because most of them are pretty bad. But this one is more. It talks about. It doesn't have a pastor doing some big redemptive scene. It doesn't have a lot of scripture spouting at you. It's basically a guy that's mad at God, and a woman that doesn't believe in God. And together they kind of challenge each other's faith a little bit. And it's not, you know, I'm not one of those people that gets on their soapbox and says, hey, you've got to believe in God and this and that. You know,
It sounds like an interesting topic.
And again, it's not, I'm trying to break the mold a little bit of the stuffy Christian movies. And I always just wanted to be, a guy that makes movies that happens to be a Christian that, you know, it's not, I'm not on, so, I mean, Chris, you, I don't know if you even knew up until recently, I mean, that I was, because I'm not on set, you know.
No, I did. I don't know why. I think we had maybe a passing conversation about it a long time ago, and I, you know, I don't care. I mean, right. I'm not one of those people that's just like, well, I can't work with that guy because he's this or that, the other thing. I mean,
yeah,
and you wouldn't even be the first actor who is, you know, self-identified, you know,
as anything.
I mean, if you're talented and you're a nice person, I like working with you. I don't care what you're espousing.
And no one
has ever done that. I mean, you were never like, Chris, let me talk to you for a second. Have you found Jesus? You know, right. It was never anything that. I think we just had a conversation very early on talking about like where you came from and sort of beliefs and whatnot. And, you know, I mean.
And as a side to that, I don't look down on anybody that doesn't share my belief, and I can't stand when people do that. I mean, I have many Jewish friends, I have many atheist friends, I have, you know, every kind of friend that, you know, I don't. It's not our job to judge each other. You know, that's just not what we're here for. It's our job to love each other, and that's what it all boils down to. So,
you know, and I want to say actually one thing. I am not a religious person. Everyone who knows me knows that. I'm not religious at all. But I actually received an email you had sent out, and you sort of said to, you know, you were making this Christian-based movie, I guess would be a nice way to say it. And I thought to myself, hey, good for Justin for wanting to do it and actually trying to make it happen. I was like, hey, you know, I'm not going to begrudge you it or be like, oh, why would he want to do that? Your reasoning for it makes sense to me. And I'm a little proud of you for it, actually. I mean, in a sense, that you aren't ashamed of it, or and it doesn't, I don't know, it doesn't feel to me like you're like, well, there's money to be had there, so I'm going there. You know what
that
I mean?
That is part of it, though, to be honest with you.
Well, yes, but it's not an opportunistic thing, because I know you are a believer and you hold it as important to your life and your, you know, your faith is important to you. Yes. Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Very much so. Yeah.
And so I like that you're sort of putting your money where your mouth is a little bit in that.
That says that a lot about you.
It says a lot about who you are and like I said, I'm kind of proud of you for doing that and standing by it. And like you said, I have friends who are Christians, I have friends who are whatever, this, that, the other thing. And I, you know, you're not being annoying about it.
Right,
which is important to me.
Which is a tactic that drives me crazy, and why so many people are turned off of any faith, for that matter, because of the radicals out there giving us a bad rap.
Yeah.
So actually, this movie kind of attacks the radical Christians a little bit.
Wow.
Kind of puts them in their place.
Market it correctly so that everyone's going
to
want
to
see it.
That right there, I think, would make it appeal to people who maybe aren't of a particular persuasion that would be like, well, hey, and maybe it just, sure, it's got a Christian bent to it, but it sounds like an interesting movie. Nonetheless, let's go check it out.
And the number one goal for it is to be entertaining. That's always my goal. Entertain. The message is, to me, secondary. It's always about the story and the entertainment value of it. And not the underlying. If you want to hear a sermon, go to church. You know where they are. You know?
You know when it happens.
Bibles are very inexpensive. You can buy one for $1.
Or steal one at any hotel.
Honey!
Right. Right. Or the internet. The Bible is online.
Yeah, Bible.com.
You can have people just send it to you.
So I'm not doing a movie because I want to convert the entire world to Christianity. I'm doing that movie because the business opportunity for Christian movies is ripe right now, and because I want to at least provoke thoughts for people. I want people to walk away talking about it and say, you know, yeah, maybe I should look into it a little bit, or yeah, maybe my tactic isn't quite working right.
And it's nice to hear a similar story told in a different way, I think. As a person who's interested in, you know, those arty films that we were just talking about, and, you know, sometimes it's worth it just to hear, it's all the same stories, you know, but hear it told in a different way is good.
And would you say that Christian movies, the majority of them are preach first, entertain later?
Yes. I shouldn't say the majority because I'm not familiar with enough of them. Yeah. The majority of the ones that I've seen, Very much so. The best one that I've seen recently, actually, that I'll pimp really quickly, What If, directed by Dallas Jenkins. Excellent, excellent movie. Preaching is definitely secondary in that. The entertainment value is there. John Ratzenberger, Cliff Clavin is in it, for crying out loud. You can't go wrong there, right? And Kevin Sorbo, Minnesota-grown Kevin Sorbo.
Hercules.
TV's Hercules. And Christy Swanson, who's still
well, I am already
fantastic.
Out. I'm out.
Anyway.
Nice.
So will we eventually find titles and release dates on your website?
Absolutely. I'll keep it updated on, I'll set up a Facebook page for it. You know, I've got a production website, production Facebook page too, Kenzie Productions, which is another website too, kenzieprod.com, KENZIEPROD.com for Kenzie Productions, named after my late sister, my favorite person in the whole wide world. Mm. God rest her soul. And then my personal acting website also is justinoverlander.com. Both websites need updating, and actually Justin Overlander just links to kenzieprod.com right now, but they'll have, and if there's any cheap web design out there, contact me, find me.
I know some people.
Great.
Nice.
I know a lot of unemployed people.
It is a rough economy.
It is horrible. Anyway, yeah. So yes.
Forgive me for rambling on.
Oh, no.
It's no worries. It's interesting.
Give you. To listen, all of us.
Look. To listen to you talk is really
is a
interesting.
Two-part podcast.
I'm sitting here craning my
neck.
Thing
on there.
I
don't care if it's 2.5 hours long.
It's going to be 2.5 hours long.
I'm craning my neck to actually watch Justin speak because he's so passionate about it.
All I see is a silhouette because I got a light behind him. Yeah. So it's kind of like one of those shows where it's like we don't want to tell you the guy's face. We just got to change his voice. I saw the alien.
We're going to put the robot voice on him for
we
the
can't
entire
show
podcast.
His face
sorry,
because
everybody.
The government will get him.
I figure the more I talk to, the more people can realize that I don't really have the voice that I used in Terror from Beneath the Earth, which one reviewer kind of commented on. Like, why did
what?
You do that?
What do we call it? The Clint Eastwood?
I think I called it a cross between Clint Eastwood and John. Or, like, it was Eastwood, John Wayne, and John Black or something from Days of Our Lives.
Kind of an odd combo.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
And that acting. Was only because those old movies, everybody has great voices, and I don't have a great voice. You know, I actually was raised in radio, and I worked, my dad has a radio station, and I was an on-air personality. I always said I've got a great face for radio and a great voice for print. But I was able.
I think we just said that in the Michael Kaiser podcast really? Last time.
Is your wife hot, Justin?
My wife is beautiful. Aww, yes, very much.
Yeah. See, there's still hope. Michael Kaiser. Bom, bom. I'm sorry. I just segued.
What? Still hope for what? I don't care.
She was more just speaking for Michael.
Yes,
Kaiser.
That was.
Oh.
That was although,
all praise be to the Kaiser.
Well, and I would like to say I have met Justin's wife. She is gorgeous. Just saying.
She doesn't like me. I can tell.
Where are we going?
Okay.
With this?
Oh my god.
That was awesome.
Justin, do you
she
have...
doesn't like anybody that makes me kiss somebody.
Yeah. So I actually don't true. Think she likes me after. And the funny thing is you know that scene where in Monster Fan, like where you kiss Rachel Grubb, we shot that. And all the kisses were very, very short. I mean, you know, they're not very in-depth.
Yeah,
and
no
it's
tongue.
Edited to look like a lot worse than it was. I mean, it really was. I edited it to make it look like it was
style.
Much longer than what it was. And then even when you're, like, nuzzling at her neck, I remember you were just sort of, like, moving your head, you know, and Rachel was trying desperately not to be tickled by your chin on her shoulder, basically.
No, my wife has no problem watching me die on screen, because I've gone many times. But
sort of
when
awesome.
It comes
like
to intimate scenes with women, she doesn't like that, which I've done many times as well.
I was going to say, you did that in Gehenna, too.
Yeah, a little bit. And again, that was just a small...
Yeah.
So how did she feel about your role in Horror House with Emily Fradenburg?
Yeah, my wife did not appreciate that one at all.
And nor did I. Who wrote that movie?
I wrote the movie, but the scene, I didn't direct it. And that scene, seriously, was not how I pictured the scene being. It was a little more intense than I had anticipated.
It is hot and heavy.
So. Oh.
And it's,
I'm
it's
very interested in this movie. Where
awkward about. For me to watch. I hate watching myself do much, but kissing is one of the worst things that I want to watch myself do.
It's pretty intimate.
Do.
Yeah.
It was one of those weird little, you know, Mimiverse connections that came together that you neither of you were in the same movie, but you were in a movie together, and of course that's the small community that we are, but that, you know, it's kind of interesting, you know, how that came together.
Well, yeah, and
it's a hot and heavy scene.
Nice.
Okay, anyway,
and my
so
scene, the scene you wrote for fizzle. Mike Cook and me in
House of Ghosts.
I've revealed too much.
It's hot. Shh.
No spoilers yet. They're good.
It's cooking.
Oh! On that note,
we
should wrap this up,
guys. My booty hurts, and our listeners' booties hurts. Although they have the ability to press pause.
Yes, they do. Well, let's wrap this up then. I just want to thank Justin Overlander for being such an awesome guest, an intriguing guest. I loved listening to you speak, my good man.
Well done.
Doesn't feel like we've been sitting here for as long as we have. I'm looking at the clock, but it literally...
2.5 hours.
Is it really?
Ouch.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
It feels like that to my booty.
That's the way Talking Shop is, though. Chris and I can sit around and talk for hours because we're so passionate about what we do. And
that's what is ultimately so fascinating about it, is because...
That's what people like about
the podcast.
You
guys go back and forth about it. One of the things we strive for with the podcast is just try to keep it real. Spontaneous, real, just don't script anything out or script very little of it out so that we have a basic outline, but don't really try to steer it in one way or the other. We want
Except
it to
me.
Go. Yeah, she's the one that just tries to make it.
And
boring.
You failed miserably too.
Yeah.
Dude, yeah. I failed myself.
But we try to, you know, let the conversation go where it wants to go, and it feels more natural that way. Mm-hmm. And so I appreciate that you allowed yourself to be real and be who you are, and it carried over tonight. So thank you very much.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
It was awesome fun. Having you. We in our audience, we have Michael Kaiser.
All praise be to the Kais.
And we'd like to thank our special guest, Ed Oliver, who is our fire tender and guest voice.
Who made a sweet
He's waving
fire.
Again
yes.
like a Muppet. And thank
the best
you.
Best fire yet.
Thank you to Chris Mim for being here, and as always to
it's
our
my house,
listeners.
So I kind of had to be here.
You don't have to be here.
So I can just leave, let you guys set up in my backyard and go somewhere else.
You threatened me a couple of times on this last movie that I don't have to be here, lady. I'm just saying.
All right. Well, you're welcome. Thank you for thanking me. I appreciate that.
One day I'm just going to show up in your backyard and be like, what's up? Got a fire going.
Just come outside.
You want some
schmores? Hey, what's going on?
Hi.
When did you get here?
I don't know. Six,
I've been
here
a couple
o'clock.
Hours.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Do you want a schmallow?
I got a fire going. And this time I will take the opportunity to thank my lovely husband, Mark Hader, sitting over there.
Woot.
My better half.
That's, oh, really?
And I, as always, am Ruby.
Yes, she is.
Thank you, Ruby.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks to everyone for listening again. Remember that we have Mike Cook. Gustav, who will be,
amongst other things,
gracing us with his presence for podcast number 4. So if you have questions, don't hesitate to send them to podcast@sainteuphoria.com or go to the contact page on sainteuphoria.com for the pull-down menu. You can ask
anything
a question.
You like.
You can ask us a question, myself.
Stop
or
sending
Ruby.
Me spam, dang
and,
it.
Yeah, actually, Chris really likes the spam.
I don't want to make my Google rankings go any higher, and I don't need a bigger part in the next movie.
Let's wrap this up then on that note.
All praise be to the Kais.
Bum bum.
Oh, and you'll be able to order your I'm Friends with Michael Kaiser t-shirt shortly on SaintEuphoria.com.
That's a lie.
That's.
I don't know if that's a lie.
Yeah,
I'm going to have to do it
Chris
now.
Is really in love with the idea, so you'd be surprised it might actually happen. But again, thank you very much for all our listeners. And again, thank you to everyone who has listened to the podcast in the past. We didn't really think this was going to take off like it did.
But we hoped.
We had hoped, but it was really surprising. When we
just don't want to stop talking.
There is
Could
that.
We? Oh, my God. I got to go to bed.
Become an associate producer.
Yes. Send Chris an email at chris@sainteuphoria.com and sign up to be an associate producer, and you can have a hand in helping out with House of Ghosts. So once again, thanks a lot.
Dankon.
And we are out. Thanks, guys. Talk to you later.
Bye.
See you next month. Bye-bye.
Do we start now?
Life is a mystery. That much is plain.
would like to thank you again for tuning into this edition of the podcast, and we invite you to join us next time when Ruby and Hater warm themselves at the Mimiverse bonfire with talented thespian, tectonic tinkerer, tub tin star, and thyroteridae tracker, Mike Cook. Until then, follow your path. Don't love your heroes so much that you cheat them of their due, and be sure to keep a rockin' and a rollin'.
As a reward for listening this long, please enjoy this short blooper from tonight's podcast.
Hello, this is writer-director for... No, it isn't.